Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
As we study book two of Psalms, we're just getting ready to start the second book of Psalms. Psalms book two starts with chapters 42 and ends with chapter 72. And this second book, like the first book, is where David is the main character, essentially, of the psalm writers. He is one of the main ones who writes the Psalms. And it's an interesting aspect of how he writes this time, though. Both books are mainly David describing his journey with God. And it's interesting, though, is that in this second book, is where David writes most of his Psalms. And then after this second book, in book three and book four, we don't see him appear that often in the Psalms that are written. We see him writing a book once in book three, and then just a couple of times in book four. And then in the fifth book, it's like a final culmination, of praises where David joins in with the other psalm writers to magnify and glorify God in this amazing crescendo of praise is basically what book five is. But that's for another time. And we're right now in book two. But it is interesting because, and the reason I say this is because it's helpful for us to see that, hey, this is kind of David's, the first two books are where David's kind of the main character in the books. And so as we read through that, we can kind of recognize it and say, hey, this is where David's talking, and I'm not going to see him for a while in book three and book four. So we can kind of hone in and focus in on the testimony of David. And it seems fitting a little bit. If you look at the end of the book two, Psalm 72, the very ending, it says in verse 20, it says this, Psalm 72, verse 20, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. In this context, it kind of helps us to see, okay, maybe this is where David's closing out his psalms. And then, of course, we see him coming in again later on in book five. But this is kind of helping us to see how David is the main psalm writer of this second book. So knowing that helps us to kind of focus in on him a little bit. But David is not the only one who writes in this second book. Others are starting to join in a little bit with David as he shares his story from within. So the king, David, as the king, David brings in others to help the nation of Israel and us to sing songs of praise to God. And so the seven of these psalms appear in the first part of this book. And these seven psalms were written by what's known as the sons of Korah. Now you may be wondering, like I did, well, who in the world are the sons of Korah? I don't know that I know who these people are. So I did some studying. And this story of the sons of Korah is amazing. It's really interesting. So who are the sons of Korah? Well, it starts with Korah. Who was Korah? Korah was actually an Israelite who was in the tribe of Levi, who had left Egypt and was on his way to Canaan. And because he was a Levite, he was responsible for the aspects of the temple. Now, Korah and his, it actually came from one of Korah's older ancestors, Kohath. But Korah was an ancestor of Kohath. And so Korah and some of those in his family, in his tribe, were responsible, not for the actual inner workings of the tabernacle per se, but he was responsible for carrying all of the different things, the different furniture and the holy things within the tabernacle, from place to place as they traveled. He was basically a hauler. He hauled stuff. And but the problem is Korah was not satisfied with the role that he was given. In fact, he was so frustrated with the fact that what he assumed to be a very menial, unimportant task, that he basically demanded Moses that he be put in charge of or to be included in the priesthood aspect of the tabernacle. Basically, he says, Moses, this is beneath me. I don't need to do anything. This is not what I should be doing. Give me the role of a priesthood or something like that. Ultimately, Korah and 250 of those with him rebelled against Moses and ultimately against God. And because of that, they suffered a horrible, horrible fate as punishment for their rebellion. But Korah's line, his lineage, didn't end there. There were some who must not have agreed with Korah's rebellion. And so Korah's sons ultimately passed on and continued the role of carrying the articles of the tabernacle and basically being responsible for the outer aspects of the tabernacle as Levites. But here's the interesting thing about Korah and his descendants. God was very gracious to Korah and his descendants, because even though Korah rebelled against God for the role that he was giving, God still graciously allowed his lineage to be used by him in an amazing way. In fact, one of Korah's descendants, the seventh generation, is somebody you know. It's actually Samuel. The Samuel was a descendant of rebellious Korah. And so this is where Samuel comes in, but it's also this. In 1 Chronicles 6, when David becomes king, he gives the role of leading the singing and the praises praises of God in the tabernacle to Samuel's grandson, which is a man named Heman, and his sons. And this is where the sons of Korah come from. The very name sons of Korah is an amazing testimony of God's redemption and his restoration. And you literally can see this testimony of their thankfulness and humble gratitude to God for how he was willing to redeem them and restore them from the rebellion of their forefathers. In fact, a lot of the psalms that you and I know and love come from these sons of Korah. Words like, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for thee, comes from the sons of Korah. Be still, in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God, comes from the sons of Korah. Even in Psalm 84, they show up again later on in Book 3 and Book 4. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Sometimes we ascribe this to David, but it means so much more when we think about the actual writers of that were actually doorkeepers of the house of God. It means more when we realize that that was actually one of the roles. And the dissatisfaction of their forefathers, but then they say, you know what, I'm so happy to be where I am because of God's goodness and graciousness. And this is what we see, and we're going to look more about the sons of Korah and their testimony over the next couple of weeks. But for today, we're going to look at an overarching view of Psalm Book 2. What is the focus of this second book? Where does David and the sons of Korah focus their testimonies on? From what do they pull out the songs from within their hearts? Well, just as in Book 1, there seem to be two main storylines that weave in and out of this book. See, the first book focused on the first of these themes. The first theme that we see in Book 2 is the focus on the king and his kingdom. You see, when we were going through Book 1, we saw how David personally grew in his confidence in God and his king. It was a very personal, very intimate relationship between David and his king, right? And because we saw how David's trust grew into confidence in God because of God's faithfulness, it reminded us that we too can have that confidence in the faithfulness of our King, right? Now, in book two, the storyline of the king continues. The purple thread of royalty, as we see in the video, the purple thread of royalty, the two lines, the purple thread of royalty, one of those threads continues to weave in and out of the pages of book two. But this time, the storyline isn't just on the personal aspects of David and his king. This time it kind of gets broader. It goes from the David and his king to the people of Israel and their king. Spreads out a little bit. So the focus is on how the king provides for and protects his kingdom, the people who are under his rule and care. The kingly storyline here, we can see this in two different ways. The kingly storyline. First is in how God, the creator and ruler of all things, is more intimately the king of his people Israel. Basically, it's Israel proclaiming and praising God for the fact that he, the ruler of the universe, the ruler of all things, is their king. Just like, remember how we looked at David, the shepherd in the first Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. Of all of the shepherds I have, of all of the shepherds I could have, the Lord, he is my shepherd. In the same way, the people of Israel saying, of all of the rulers, of all of the rulers that we could have, we have the ultimate supreme, the creator of all things. He is our king. Oh, blessed are we. We can see him praising and full of joy, the people of Israel praising and full of joy, the fact that God is their king. In fact, let me show you a few of these verses that we'll find in the second book, Psalm 47. In Psalm 47, verse 6, it says this, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our king, sing praises. They're all about singing praises, can you tell? For God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. In Psalm 48, 1, it says this, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, talking about Jerusalem and Zion, beautiful for situation. The situation that it is in is beautiful. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. This is interesting. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king, the beauty of the whole earth is displayed in Mount Zion because it is the city of the great king, the king of all things. His place of rule is there in Zion. And so we see the joy and the jubilation of the people of Israel and the fact that God is their king. As their king, his people know that they can find refuge in him. He is the one in whom they can trust. And several times in this book too, we see God being referred to and being described in those refuge aspects, those terms of refuge, like he is described as your refuge, your fortress, your stronghold. Those kinds of words are attributed to God throughout this psalm. Let's look at one of them in a different context. Psalm 57:1 says this, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Yes, there are times of struggle. Yes, there are times of difficulty and distress. But even in those times, the people of Israel put their trust in their refuge. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I think that's amazing. That's the first way we see the kingly thread, the purple thread of royalty flowing through this psalm. The second way we see this kingly thread flowing in and out of the verses of Psalm is found in the earthly kings of Israel. They are, to the people of Israel, the visible display of God's presence and protection for his people. Let me explain it to you this way. Oftentimes we see the priests in the tabernacle or the priests in the temple. And just as those things, the priests in the temple, were a visible display of the holiness and the mercy of God, so also the king is a visible expression. His role is to display God's protection and care for his people. And so we see even in the roles of the earthly kings of David and of Solomon, how God displays his protection and care for the people of Israel through the kings that he has put over them. Look at Psalm 72, verse 1. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. We see the kings and their descendants as role bearers of the goodness and protection and care of God. David and his son Solomon both ruled in ways that displayed God's protection of his people, right? When they ruled well, you can see it. You can see how God blesses them and how the people experience amazing blessings under their care and their protection, right? That being said, neither one of them ruled perfectly. And if you look down through the kings of Israel, you're going to notice that a lot of them do an absolutely horrible job in their role of displaying the goodness and protection and care of God. They fail over and over and over and over again. Even David, the king, the great one, messed up so many times. His pride got in the way and he numbered the people in a way that he shouldn't have. His lust took over and he did things that he ought not to. And it's even his like self-protection. He even became a murderer trying to protect and cover up. David the king was no different. Solomon wasn't that great either. He started out following the wisdom of God, but later on in his life, he walked away from following after God and gave his heart over to idols. Neither one of these kings, in all their greatness and glory, did not do a perfect job of displaying the goodness, the protection, and the care of God. And this is where we see the second storyline that weaves in and out of this second book too. The second storyline, if the first storyline is the storyline of royalty, weaving in and out, the purple thread of royalty, the second storyline is the storyline of the great Redeemer, Jesus, the coming king. The crimson thread of his redeeming grace is also flowing in and out of this book as well. In these Psalms, it's interesting that the Psalms that seem to be pointing to the kingship of David or the kingship of even his son Solomon, ultimately they don't point to them, they point beyond them and to the one king, the coming king, the great redeemer, Jesus Christ. We were reading in Psalm 72, 1, give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. And it seems like it's pointing to Solomon or David. But if you keep reading, you're going to notice some interesting things about this psalm that never happened to David or Solomon. Look in verse 7. Verse 7 says this, in his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. As long as the moon endures, his righteous rule will reign. Verse 8, and he shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Their kingship, David and Solomon's kingship, was limited. It could not have been them that this psalm is pointing to. Verse 11, yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Verse 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. These words remind us that this book is much more than the stories of David or Solomon. It reminds us that these stories are all about the Redeemer, the great King, Jesus Christ, and His kingdom is the kingdom that will go from sea to sea to the ends of the earth. Everyone will bow down before Jesus the King. All nations will serve Him. It is Jesus' name that will be continued as long as the sun and even beyond the existence of the sun. All nations will bless His name because they will be blessed under His rule. And this is where the story in book two becomes your story. This isn't just the story of David or Solomon, or the people of Israel in their relationship with their king. It's also your story, because God's redemption, God's restoration, just like it came to the sons of Korah, also came to you. Praise God, double hand, praise Jesus, because even in our sinfulness and rebellion, we have been given forgiveness. We have been given redemption through Jesus. He is the one who bore our sins of rebellion on the cross. He is the one that took our punishment. That punishment should have been ours, but He took it for us. He was the one who, by saving us, brought us into His kingdom. Because of His grace, we too have the joy of being in His rule. One day, we will be in the presence of our King. One day, we will joyfully join our brothers and sisters from every tribe, from every tongue, all nations, bowing our knee to Him and loudly singing a new song, a song of joy in the presence of our King. This is what Revelation tells us about what to expect. Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Verse 10 says this, or verse 9, For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, every tongue, and every people, and every nation. Verse 10, And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The very role that we are given is one that we are not worthy to receive. And yet by God's grace and God's redemption and restoration, He gives us this role in the same way that He gave Korah's descendants that role. So also He gives us this role of kings and priests, because of His goodness and because of His kindness. Under our King's rule, every one of us who has found redemption in Jesus will join the children of Israel in singing these songs of joy and praise to our King, the one who rules and cares for us. Psalm 67 describes this beautifully. Verse 1 says this, God, be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. These are words that were written by the children of Israel in praise of their King, of their God, that they may be known upon earth, Thy saving health among all nations. And He continues to spread on through that. Verse 3 says this, Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Verse 4, Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. This is you. This is you. You can sing for joy and be glad because of who is your King. For Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. This is the story of book two. It is a story of the King and His protection and presence within His kingdom. You get to be part of that. This book too is not just the story of David or of Solomon or of the children of Israel. This is your song too, and you get to sing it. So as we study this book, take time to read over it. In your own room, in your own time, read these songs of David and Solomon and the sons of Korah. Make them your own. Reflect on them and praise the King of all nations, that he is your King too. And with joy, praise his name, because he is worthy of your praise, fully worthy of the joy that you have in him. One day, like the children of Israel, we will stand with David and Solomon and sing our praises to our great King and enjoy the rule and the restoration he gives in our role and enjoy his blessings forever and ever. As long as the sun shines and long past the shining of the sun, because of the goodness, because of the graciousness of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Think about that this week. Take time this week to study the beginning, first couple of chapters of book two, and sing those songs with the sons of Korah as they sing praises to God, their King. All right, let's pray. Jesus, we have been reminded of something amazing. All of Scripture points to you. We see that again in the second book of Psalms. Holy Spirit, as we read through these words, these songs of praise that the sons of Korah sing to you, let those words of praise become our words of praise, so that through them we see you the way we ought to see you. Through them, in the middle of difficulty and suffering, we see that you are our protector, that you are the one in whom we can take refuge. Even as the difficulties of life and all of those struggles seem to overwhelm us, no, help us to see that you are the one in whom we can take refuge. And in doing so, as we find refuge in you, let us praise you for the goodness of the King that you are. In Jesus' name, amen.